Tonight, Mike forgets how to say Forrest Whitaker. James wipes with a gooseneck. And we make mini poos fly out.
James from SorrelPunk.com.
And this is still Couch Potato Mike, his faithful sidekick.
Yes, this week, doing a very special episode that'll probably be the norm from now on. We're podcasting in James's tiny house.
Also known as the new pod studio.
The pod studio slash the man cave slash Jorn's giant scratchy post.
Meow. Meow.
Yes, we got producer Jordan sitting in over there.
Yeah. Last week, my house wasn't moved yet, was it?
No, it was not. So yes. Now, the tiny house has officially been moved out onto the Couch Potato compound.
The Couch Potato homestead, yes. I traded up 5 acres for 27.
Yeah, you've got a lot more acreage here.
Yes, so projects will be coming soon. Me and Mike will be doing some waddle and daub and some awesome fun stuff.
Waddle and daub, that just sounds like an Australian cartoon show.
Waddle and daub. Actually, you know what? With the Australian people, you and me get instant street cred from being Blinky Bill aficionados.
Hey, Blinky Bill, save us from that wood chip mill. If you can't do it, no one will, good old Blinky Bill.
Yes. So what are we going to come this week? Couch Potato, Michael.
Well, coming up on the show this week, mon frere, is the mini Ice Age on its way?
Big
investors are holding the highest amounts of cash since the Lehman's collapse. We're going to be talking about dealing with waste during a disaster. But before we get into any of that, it's time to share a good few words from our few good sponsors.
Yes. JMBullion.com for all your gold and silver needs. The cheapest prices you can find online. Free shipping for all orders over $100. If you plan on surviving a collapse, which you may be enduring very soon, due to the article that we'll read later, possibly, kind of, sort of, not going to make promises here, but keep your eyes open. Gold and silver are solid investments to have during that. I always try to have and increase my silver collection as a monetary hedge against the future. We'll also try to get Mike on board by giving him silver to get the silver bug infused within him.
I got a question. I'll ask it later.
Okie dokie. So yeah, JMBullion.com, click on the banner in the right-hand margin. And if you work for JMBullion, respond to my email because I need stocks to you guys.
When's our deadline anyway?
Soon.
Okay.
CapicSurvival.com, the great guys over there for everything you need for bugging out and bugging in. The survival life straw that I may use on a future weekend for the Survival Fun Gathering to drink poo water.
Yeah, you could stick it straight up the cow's butt.
Not quite. Yes. Fish antibiotics, because you need them for long-term survival prepper goodness. You get everything you need.
What? You could stick those straight up the fish's butt.
No. Maybe? No.
No butt play this week? No.
Survivalcamping.com. Click the banner in the right-hand margin and get all your bug-in and bug-out needs filled there.
Or for those of you who are not dyslexic.
Dyslexia?
Campingsurvival.com. Which brings us right over to, oh, look at you drinking a nice cup of coffee. Too bad it's not Mai Tai's Exotic Asian
Coffee. Too bad it's not Mai Tai's Exotic Asian Coffee, the best coffee that I've ever drank in the entire world.
You know why he's not drinking Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee? Because he drank it all.
I drank it all. So I need to order more.
Yeah, you do. You need to order more.
Although it lasted me about 6 months, that order I made. You're like, you ordered $100 in coffee, James. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. They shipped him like a big box.
Yeah, I ordered
it. It was a gigantic fucking box.
Yeah, it was several pounds of coffee, and it lasted quite a long time.
I'm still not sure how you managed to fit that up your butt.
Yes. Mai Tai Coffee. Fair trade, so they pay their workers a legit wage over in Thailand so they can support their families. They support an orphanage with the proceeds of the profits to give them medical and housing and schooling. Good stuff for those orphans. I love Thailand, and I love Mai Tai Coffee.
I wonder if they give the orphans coffee.
I would.
Why not?
Yes. And to get your Mai Tai coffee, go to SurvivalPunk.com. Click the banner right hand margin.
Alrighty, well, let's move right into the show.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about a miniature Ice Age. And is it on its way? Now, is that like a short version of that movie series that came out, like 7 minutes, like they do in the old Bugs Bunny cartoons and whatnot?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? What's a mini Ice Age?
It is smaller and less cold, I believe. We've talked to them before in our past. Like in the 1600s, Europe went through a mini Ice Age that basically killed crops and killed a lot of people because they starved to death.
Yeah, but when was that?
The 1600s.
Oh, the 1600s? Oh, we got this.
Yeah.
We got this covered like a Jimmy hat.
Well, we don't have as many farmers now. We're stupid. This comes from dailymail.co.uk.
Well, that's because our food's not made of food.
No. Is a mini Ice Age on the way? Scientists warn the sun will go to sleep in 2030. That's a good ways.
That could
cause temperatures to plummet.
That is the stupidest fucking headline I've ever seen. The sun will go to sleep?
Yes. Sun will go nappy time. Go the fuck to sleep. The Earth could be headed for a mini Ice Age. Researchers have warned. A new study claims to have cracked predicting solar cycles, and says that between 2020 and 2030, solar cycles will cancel each other out. This, they say, will lead to a phenomenon known as the Maunder Minimum, which has previously been known as a mini Ice Age.
What's a Maunder?
I guess the guy that created it.
Is it one of those things that hides under your bed and scares you?
No. When it hit between 1646 and 1750. Oh, yeah, that's this, right? Even causing London's River Thames to freeze over.
Holy shit. It froze over?
The Thames never freezes.
The new model of the sun's solar cycle is producing unprecedentedly accurate predictions of irregularities within the sun's 11-year heartbeat. It draws on dynamo effects in two layers of the sun, one close to the surface and one deep within its convection zone. Predictions from the model suggest that the solar activity will fall by 60% during the 2030s to conditions last seen during the mini Ice Age that began at 1645. According to the results presented by Professor Valentina Zarkova at the National...
You think she's hot?
Well, with a name like Zarkova, she has to be good.
Yeah, and Valentina.
At the National Astronomy Meeting in Yandudunanenanu.
Yes, there.
Yes, the model predicts that the pair of waves becoming increasingly offset during cycle 25, which peaks in 2022.
During cycle 26, dun, dun, which dun. Covers the decade of 2030 to 2040, the two waves will become exactly out of sync, and this will cause a significant reduction in solar activity.
Is it just me, or does cycle 26 sound like the name of a techno band?
I was thinking like some sort of death precedent thing from a video game or a movie, like Cycle 26, a.k.a. Soylent Green. Cycle 26 is people! In Cycle 26, the two waves exactly mirror each other, peaking at the same time, but in opposite hemispheres of the said sun, said Dr. Hottie. Their interaction will be disruptive, or they will nearly cancel each other out. We predict that this will lead to the properties of a Maunder Minimum.
You know, you're being really bold calling her Dr. Hottie. I mean, she might look like a fucking frog.
Yes. We're going to skip the rest of this article. You can read it at dailymail.co.uk. We'll have it in a thing.
Well, hold on. Let's not skip everything. I mean, right there, I think it says the Maunder Minimum, also known as a prolonged sunspot minimum.
Is the name used for a period starting on blah, 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 blah.
Okay, fine there.
Yeah, so it's just a nickname.
I don't see how the hell they can say that the sun's going to fall. The sun's effective is going to fall by 60 fucking percent.
I'm, okay.
It's like the sun has a fucking dimmer switch or something?
At this point, I don't believe any weather liars about anything whatsoever.
Fuck no!
I mean, back in the 70s, they predicted we're heading into an ice age. And then in the late 80s, early 90s, it's
global warming.
It's going to destroy the earth because it's going to get like 2 degrees hotter. People can't live 2 degrees hotter.
Oh,
we'll
God.
Fucking be doomed. Yeah. So now...
Well, we'll be fucked.
Yeah, so when that didn't pan out, remember Ice Apocalypse this last year and the cold winter we had? Like, the past two winters have been the possible worst in Tennessee in the past couple decades.
You mean where everybody was going, where the hell's this global warming they were supposed to be fucking sending our way?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, humans are egotistical enough to think that the shit that we do is going to have that big of an effect on the fucking atmospheric temperatures of our fucking planet.
Yeah.
No.
And smarter scientists have actually, they've been like, yeah, these scientists are dumb cunts. NASA showed a 10-year graph of, like, global temperatures. There is no global warming.
No, there's fucking not. The planet heats and cools on a cycle. It has for fucking ever now.
And a day. Forever and a day.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah.
And so, whether we were here or not, this planet would have been the same fucking temperature in 1985, populated or unpopulated, is my fucking belief.
Yeah. Maybe the slightest degree temperature of not even a degree. As in maybe like fractions of a degree difference because we did something or we didn't do something.
Is that Warren Buffett?
I guess so. It's his Buffett's bold claim.
That's Uncle Fester. But ever notice he kind of looks like the founder of Wendy's?
A little bit.
And that guy looks just like Will Smith. Yep.
For one, I'd actually prefer global warming. It's not as devastating to the planet as an ice age or a mini ice age. A mini ice age is essentially death untold. Crops can't grow, shit doesn't work, people freeze over.
I wouldn't mind a localized mini ice age, around my, just my bedroom, actually.
Yeah. You just need a better air conditioner.
Oh, God, I've got to get... Anybody got a really good running air conditioner out there that they're not using? Send it here. Contact us, James, at survivalpunk.com, because I fucking need one.
The satellite installation guy gave me an idea I meant to tell you about that I think would work.
Oh, let me guess. Dish Network now has air conditioning service.
No, pawn shops usually have cheap air conditioners.
Yeah, but why are they in the fucking... Never mind.
Bums need to pawn them, and they have layaway in every pawn shop.
They have layaway in pawn shops?
Yeah. I've used it for guns before.
Great, I'll have this paid off just in time for the winter.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, yeah, mini ice age, maybe, shmaybe, who knows?
Maybe, shmaybe, use guys.
Yeah, just keep doing what you do and ignore the weather liars. It's going to do something the opposite, especially if you're in Tennessee.
Fuck yeah.
Next!
Did you happen to see a Doppler radar or anything of the storm that's heading through here today?
Your wife posted it on the Facebook.
It's so fucking weird. It's like fucking 400 miles long and it's moving from north to south.
Yeah.
I've never seen a storm do that before.
When I went to Mardi Gras and I was driving back, this strip of road, like, I think it was 65 South, maybe, or whatever we were on, that went all the way down to, like, New Orleans.
Yeah, that'd be 65.
Yeah. There was a rain cloud on 65, like, the strip literally hovered over 65 the entire trip. 6 hours, we were in rain.
That's just funny. That's just funny as hell.
That's fucked up.
That's fucked up. All the people besides 65, look at them.
Yeah.
Look at them, it's dry over here.
Yeah, I mean, I looked up on radar, and literally it was a strip that was like...
Covering the interstate.
Floating to the east. Like,
funny as hell.
So, next up comes from Bloomberg.com.
Big investors are holding the highest amount of cash since Lehman's collapse. Now, I have a question for you. What the fuck is Lehman's collapse?
Lehman was a bank... lending company, the biggest one in New York that went under in 2008, it looks like. I've heard of them. I didn't pay a lot.
So why are we always putting things in their terms?
Their collapse was part of the collapse that had the Great Recession of 2008. They were lending money to the other people that were lending money. They couldn't get any of their money back. And Lehman was one of the people that was like, they can't fail. They're too big, and they failed.
Oh, God. Too big to fail. My fellow Americans, these companies are too big to fail.
Yeah, it'd be
They're
like...
billion-dollar corporations. That's why I'm giving them money.
It'd be like next week if Walmart went under. Can you imagine the global scale that would have if Walmart went under?
I'm trying
in
to.
In a week?
Walmart, what if the entire
the vacuum that would create.
It'd mean all the mom and pops would have a chance.
It would mean millions of people out of a job.
Yeah, it really would.
I mean, not just Walmart, but suppliers closed up. Whole businesses closed up because they can no longer sell their goods to Walmart.
Oh, my God. I mean, they have their own trucking.
Truck driving.
They have their own trucking company.
Truck drivers from other businesses that do deliver to Walmart would be severely hurt.
Yeah, Walmart, but that ain't going to fucking happen.
Lehman's wasn't going to fucking happen.
Yeah, well, Lehman's is a Walmart.
Anyway. Cash is king.
No, it's not.
According to the results of the latest Bank of America Merrill Lynch Fund Manager Survey, The survey was conducted from July 2nd to July 9th, as worries over Greece, China, and an impending interest rate hike by the Federal Reserve seemed to weigh heavily on the minds of the 191 respondents, who held a collective $510 billion in assets under management. Results show that cash levels jumped to 5.5%, the highest since December 2008, when the world was still in the midst of a major financial crisis sparked by the collapse of Lehman Brothers. You want to read?
Yeah. Still, BoFamil. What the fuck is BoFamil?
Bank of America, Merrill Lynch.
I'm calling him BoFamil. Still, BoFamil analysts, led by chief investor strategist Michael Hartnett, figure all that cash on the sidelines is a major buy signal. When average cash begins rising above the 4.5%, a contrarian buy signal is generated for equalities. When the cash...
Equities. It sucks, doesn't it?
Equities! Fuck you. When the cash balance falls below 3.5%, a contrarian sell signal is generated. They reunited us. Don't interrupt me. That's my thing. I'm sorry. Not interrupt. Correct. Goddamn. You fucking gave me word. Oh. Ah! Cut. Take two. Action.
Here's their chart showing cash levels against the MSCI ACWI index.
Perfect. A chart on a fucking audio medium.
Yes. Since 2002.
It's a squiggly line and a bunch of numbers.
You can look at it in the article.
It says BoFamil.
Yeah. Cash is going up from being a low to a high, blah, blah, blah.
That chart has worked.
The survey also showed the odds of investors taking out protection against the fall in equity since 2008.
February.
Yes, February
of 2008. That second chart looked like it has Forrest Whitaker eye.
Yes, it's all squiggly, and it's, you just have to look at it.
Because this is a podcast.
This is another nail in the coffin of things to be worried about. Between Greece going under, Puerto Rico apparently can't service their debt this year, so they're asking for a bailout. Puerto Rico is asking for a bailout.
Wait, the entire fucking territory of Puerto Rico?
Yes. So their debt this year is more than
what debt? What do they have to be in debt about?
Every country borrows money. Borrowing money is wealth. However, it's only wealth as long as you have the ability to pay back that debt. Or at least, not pay it back, but pay the interest on the debt. They don't have enough money to pay the interest on their debt this year. They can't cut their budget at all.
My fellow
Americans.
They're going
to default on their debt.
Puerto Rico is too big to fail.
And I don't believe we're going to bail them out. We can't bail them out because we'll have to bail them out again next year and the next year and the next year.
So what are we going to do? Just sell them down the river?
It's going to be interesting.
Oh, my God. I mean, don't we own Puerto Rico? I mean, it is a U.S. territory.
Yes.
I mean, doesn't that make us partially responsible for this?
It does.
For their financiality?
How are the American people going to respond if we give them, whatever, the 84... million or billion they need to pay for their service of their debt, and people are starving in, like, North Carolina?
I just figure the uneducated will scream, why don't you tell them Puerto Ricans to go back to Mexico?
Yeah. You piss off every Mexican and Puerto Rican in the audience.
Yeah, I am. I'm in a mood tonight, yeah. Dude.
Awesome, yeah.
I'm funny and it's funny. I can't fucking talk today.
Yeah. It is an evening podcast, which we normally record. Well, we don't have a set time. We record whenever the fuck we record, basically.
We record on Saturdays. This is fucking Tuesday. We record in the evening. We record in the morning. Blardy, blardy, yeah. Blar. I can't say Forrest Whitaker today. I've tried saying it four fucking times, but you wouldn't know because I could squeeze it out.
Forrest Whitaker. Whitaker.
Yeah, I'm still... Yeah, that motherfucker looks like Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's.
Kinda, yeah. Keep your eyes open, preppers, and I'm officially getting kind of antsy enough that I'm going to double down my preps. Like, I'm starting to get a little worried.
What the fuck was that?
Somebody's going to try to talk, so I'm going to click the tab close.
For the love of God.
Yep, I hate when they auto-load videos and start playing. Anyway, let's jump into...
our main survival punkish topic thingamabobber.
Yes, and this week we're talking about poo.
Yes, we're talking about shit. And not the shit from Washington this time.
Yes, we're talking about actual human waste material.
Excrement and what to do with it during a disaster.
During a disaster, during the apocalypse, all this stuff, you're going to be producing excrement that needs to be dealt with.
Now, looks like this article comes from James Burnett from the SurvivalPunk.com website.
I will link to this article. I wrote an article on it August of last year, 2014. We're not gonna actually read the article. I brought it up for sort of, I don't know, notes.
We need to play that again on the show. I'm just
playing the card game. Yeah,
conflicted the card. You still
I was
got
just
that?
Thinking about that. Yeah, somewhere.
Why is that on your screen?
The previous that was the episode where we did that. Episode 24.
God, episode 24.
We're on like 63 now or 64.
Oh my memories.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're gonna break down this podcast into.
Fecal matter.
Two sections. Number one and number two.
And number two. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first one...
is one.
Urine is
relatively easy to
Deal with. And isn't so much a burden as a usable product.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to go Bear Grylls and, oh, it's getting dark, I better drink my own urine. We're not going to do that. You can do that, but we're not going to do that.
In a survival situation, you can drink your own pee.
Once.
Yes. But you're not going to drink your pee-pee.
Yes. And I wouldn't even trust it if you've got a weak gap. Like, Mike, you couldn't drink your own pee because you would throw up.
Yeah, see, that would be just completely detrimental and the exact opposite of what it is.
Yeah.
If I tried to drink my own pee, I would vomit, therefore dehydrating myself even further.
Yeah, whereas I'm a sick son of a bitch, I could probably drink my own pee.
Oh, yeah, you probably could. Matter of fact, I'm
not
sure that's what you made your coffee with.
My coffee is made of pee.
I never could understand that on the fucking first episode of Man, Woman, Wild. They're fucking, you know, out in the desert or what have you, whatever the fuck. And he fucking pees into, like, some kind of a thing. And he drinks it, and he makes her drink it. That's therefore fucking ruining her pee that they could have drunk.
True, possibly, yeah. Yeah. Well, she still has a reserve of pee in her, so it's diluted. He's drinking... he has no pee, and he's drinking his pee to concentrate the pee.
Well, it doesn't matter. The whole point is moot, seeing how they actually had to call in the staff that you were never supposed to see behind the camera and bring her a Gatorade.
Yeah, so...
and I think an IV.
Yeah.
Yeah, he damn near killed his wife in the first episode. That is not the right way to do it.
I mean, as a guy, it's pretty easy to just pee anywhere. You go outside, you pee. You pee in a different place every day, and... it's not really an issue.
Yeah, it's also good for putting out small fires.
Fires is good spread out like that for plants, and that's another thing. If you dilute your urine in a 10-to-1 ratio, so 1% urine, 10% water, it makes a really good plant food because that's all nitrogen in there.
Really?
Yes.
And you know what? I think before we move on any further, it's probably time to dispel the whole, you know, fucking myth about urine, you know, being a completely sterile product.
It is sterile.
Sounds like you let one go.
It is sterile when it first comes out. As in, if you had a gaping wound and we need to sterilize it, I could pee in your wound and you would be sterile. However, if you pee in a bucket and let it sit outside, it's become a festering bacteria haven.
Yeah, that's going to be a germ factory right there. Complete fucking bacterial fucking, haven.
Yes.
I can't believe it.
Bacteria food, yes.
I just quoted you on that.
Yes.
I feel ashamed of myself.
Quote. So not only storing your urine for plant feed during a disaster, because you're not going to be able to get Miracle-Gro or any other sort of nitrogen-based plant food.
Remember, that's 10-to-1 ratio.
10-to-1 to feed them to your plants. So you can just get a big mixing bucket and have like a 1-gallon pitcher you pee in and fill it into like a 10-gallon bucket.
Now, when you say plants, you mean like your gardening stuff?
Anything.
Okay.
Your garden crops, your trees, your lawn, whatever, is going to feed the plants.
Why are your tomatoes orange?
They're not. They're delicious and awesome. There's that. You'll need... I was going to say, another use for urine is if you don't happen to feed your plants right away, and it is during a disaster, you can store your urine outside in a fairly sealed container, and if you leave it out there for a couple days, the urine sort of converts to ammonia. So you have ammonia, a cleaning product. You can skim it off and use that to clean with and clean clothes. It was used throughout history.
I got a question. What if you're like, okay, you're in a disaster. What if you're like stuck in a bunker?
You're gonna pre-plan that to have a long-term solution for that.
What would you recommend as a long-term solution for that?
I'm not a big fan of long-term bunker survival. I mean, in that you'll have to build in sort of an RV recycling waste treatment facility in your bunker.
Well, I'm saying, like, what if you're in a situation like all those fucking Peruvian miners were that got trapped down there for weeks? What did they do with their pee and poo?
Pick a corner?
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, as far as bathroom facilities, there's a couple ways you can go. Simplest and what I use in my tiny house, so I have a couple months of experience at this point to really talk about, is a composting toilet.
Okay.
For solid waste. I don't go pee in the composting toilet.
Why not?
It adds to the smell. It wets down your composting material, and it just sort of degrades it. It's efficacy of composting.
Yeah, but what if you're sitting on the toilet and you got to poo, but you also got to pee?
You let some out, but I usually try to pee first before I poo in here.
That's easier said than done,
yes. Some days you just have to go in there, but I try to separate it as much as possible. Pee does not go in the composting toilet to make the composting toilet happy and effective.
If at all possible.
If at all possible. There'll be some in there, but I try to minimize it. And then you've got your composting media.
Maybe you should have one of them little, like, hand urinals that they give to patients in hospitals.
I just pee in a jug.
Not really, you can do that.
Women can pee in something. They could have a chamber pot.
I thought you were about to say women find it hot when you pee in a jug.
Yeah, they do. Here's my jug. So sawdust works really well for composting toilets. It composts easy. It works well. It's probably the best thing. Finding it is kind of a chore. I've found that you can find sawdust for composting toilets on Amazon. It exists.
They fucking sell everything on fucking Amazon.
Yes.
Sawdust. I mean, it is literally a byproduct from construction.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and that's another thing. If you happen to find a sawmill nearby or a place that does a lot of wood cutting...
Oh, they'll have tons of fucking sawdust.
You can get it from them. And a lot of people will like load up a truck bed for you so you can have all you can possibly want and just store it.
I mean, because they got to get rid of it.
They have to get rid of it, yeah. It's basically waste that you're dealing with to deal with your waste.
Mm-hmm.
They make a brand of kitty litter called Feline Pine.
Okay.
It's pine sawdust.
Okay.
It does not have a smell. Your house will smell like a fucking Christmas tree instead of kitty litter. It's amazing.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Some cats hate it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has Jordy ever tried it out?
He's not a big fan of it.
Good. Picky fucking cat. Where do you go anyway?
He's roaming around here somewhere. He's on my fucking cabinet thing back there. Shelf. It clumps to itself, but doesn't stick. Have you ever, like, scooped out the litter box and had it, like, stick to the sides and clump up and be yucky? You can, like, shake it around. It won't stick to anything.
Oh, good God.
I use Feline Pine in a composting toilet. I've used kitty litter that's made from corn cobs. Works really well.
Oh, corn cobs?
Ground up corn cobs. So it's a natural material that will compost.
Yeah.
In a pinch, you can use regular kitty litter, which is clay-based. It does the same thing.
Wait, regular kitty litter is clay-based?
Yes.
It's amazing, the shit I don't know.
Yeah. So it will compost, it works, it gets clumpy, cleaning it's sort of a chore. There's no smell to a point. You keep it fairly well lit, you keep it fairly well covered. Depending on how much poos you take, you have to clean it weekly.
I was about to say, what about the maintenance on a composting toilet? I mean... Yes, I mean, you know, you do your business in there and everything. How often do you have to empty the SOV out?
It depends on how often you use it. I don't like to go above halfway in a 5-gallon bucket.
Okay.
Because it gets ridiculously heavy. And at about the halfway point, you can start to get a little smell.
Yeah,
I can imagine. Up until that point, I have no smell. When you get to the halfway point, you start to get a little smell. So it's time to go dump it to your composting facility, your Which bin, way? Or... So there's good ways. You can bury it. There's that. If you... Before, I've actually dumped it and took it to the dump and threw it away.
Okay.
I just threw it away with Jordan's kitty litter. You can dig a hole. You can dump it. You can... An idea I'm going to probably do here, although I won't use my composting toilet as much here since I can walk next door and use your pooper.
Yeah, my father-in-law, that was one of his main questions about where you're going to go to the bathroom at.
Yeah, I mean, if I need to poo in the middle of the night or I just don't like go inside, I'll poo here. I'm going to get a 50-gallon trash can and, like, stick behind my house and dump it in there. And once it's filled up, seal it off and put the date on it. And in about 2 years, you've got compost.
Which is one the point
year,
of a
one year
toilet.
Definitely, 2 years for sure.
You're making compost. You're That's making the compost. Point of the toilet.
And throughout history, night soil, as it's been known, humanure, has been integral for growing crops.
Oh, yeah. Fucking fertilizer.
It's fertilizer, yeah. Which, I mean, takes us to never poop. I mean, takes us really straight into crap at this point.
We've been in crap for a while.
We've been in crap for a while. Like I said, the composting toilet is the way that I go. Another simple way that some people use. Is you get trash bags or specific made poo bags, whatever sort of bag. You go to the RV section at a store and get the blue RV chemical to neutralize it, and you just go in that and you seal the bag up and deal with the
you
bag.
You do it right there in the store?
No, I mean in your composting toilet. You can get a 5 gallon bucket. You can get little snap on toilet seats. Snap it on there.
Onto a 5 gallon bucket?
They're made to snap onto the top of a 5 gallon bucket.
Huh, pretty cool.
You go in it, and then when you fill it up or get tired of it, you seal the bag off. I would prefer to go with a double bag. I would double bag it, obviously. Yeah.
That's not something you want ripping on the way out.
No.
The fuck
no.
That.
Blue chemical and poo and pee everywhere. Once again, you can throw it away if you have that ability. Usually during these things, a disaster, you might want to just dig a hole and bury it.
Yeah.
And digging a hole and burying it leads us next into the outhouse. During a long-term disaster, an outhouse is probably the way to go.
Now, basically, we're talking about a usually wooden structure that's situated over a hole where you've dug in the ground.
Yes.
Now, how deep down should you dig those holes? That's not the question I've ever had answered for me before.
I'm kind of under the opinion that 6 feet is a good minimum.
Yeah, I can see that being a good minimum.
Yeah. I mean, a six-person hole will take quite a while to fill up. You got to think, you're adding to it fairly daily, but it is composting. It's becoming soil in the hole.
Yeah.
So.
Now, at what point do people usually cover those back up with dirt and move on to a new hole?
I'd assume when it's filled up. Yeah. I mean, when it's filled up, I mean, for God's sake, you could probably reuse it decades later or so. Because it'll be also a lot.
I mean, you're giving it back to the earth at that point. I mean, and that's probably going to be some fertile fucking land right there eventually.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I'd be trying to plant a tree on that.
This guy I fucking used to work with, he was telling me, him and a bunch of his buddies went out to their vacation house. They hadn't been there in like 3-4 years. I mean, this wasn't just a vacation house. This was a fucking cabin. Rustic as hell. No indoor plumbing whatsoever.
Yeah.
They had a fucking outhouse that they moved around. And he got out there about a week after they had moved. It was a couple of months after they had moved their outhouse. They moved it at the beginning of the season.
Right.
Then, you know, they invited him out a couple months later. And they were out there on their back deck of their cabin just fucking having some drinks and whatever, looking out. And he noticed it was like fucking... wild tomato plants just growing out in the middle of the fucking field. Turns out they were growing out of what used to be the fucking outhouse hole.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was and they didn't plant them there. They had eaten tomatoes, shit in that fucking outhouse hole.
Oh, my God.
And they were just fucking growing back through.
Yeah.
These hippies had no qualms about eating those tomatoes either.
What is it?
He refused to, you know, what with the stigmas and everything.
Right.
You got to think. I mean, at best, the earth that you dig in anyway is like full of earthworm shit.
Yeah, I don't.
There's, you know, like insect and bug poo down everywhere. I mean, hell,
yeah,
the whole world is poo.
Yeah. So we've covered pee and we've covered poo.
We haven't covered vomit yet. But are we going to?
No, we are going to talk about wiping.
Ah, yeah, the paper.
Pass.
So, some preppers literally will try to purchase all their toilet paper needs for the duration of a long-term disaster.
Like that rapid dissolving toilet paper?
Just regular toilet paper. Just regular fucking toilet paper. I am not a fan of this, really. Because it takes up so much fucking space.
But it is one of those things that will last forever. I mean, you can store toilet paper indefinitely.
Right. As long as it stays dry, it'll be good. I think of toilet paper as a sort of short-term item. I usually buy toilet paper once every 6 months or so, because I use so little, and I get like a bunch of it at one time.
Oh my God, my mother, I love her to death, but she was a toilet paper hoarder, man.
Oh yeah.
I'm not even joking, her and my dad split up when I was 18.
Right.
And we went grocery shopping for the first time, just us men, after that. And we bought a pack of toilet paper, just like a fucking 4-pack of toilet paper. And I'm like, Daddy, where do you want me to put this? He's like, put it in the hall closet. I open up the hall closet. I'm like, where do you want me to put it in the hall closet? There's no room. He's like, comes in there. My mother, God bless her, she had this bad habit. Every fucking week she'd go to the grocery store. Every week she'd buy the biggest fucking multi-pack of toilet paper she could find. Every week. It's funny, we set aside that 4-pack of toilet paper. And we just started using the toilet paper out of that closet. It was a year and a half later before we finally opened the 4-pack that we bought.
Oh my God.
We put the date on it, dude. Just for shits and giggles. Pun intended.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But anyway, getting back to what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can store a year of toilet paper in a fairly small area. So, that's a good start. I mean, go ahead and fucking store a year of toilet paper. When you start getting the multi-decades is what I'm like, I just don't want to store that much. Like, you need a building for all your toilet paper at that point.
Yeah.
I
mean, if you need to store a place like that, you know, listen back to some of our earlier episodes where we talk about great places, unused places where you can store stuff.
Yeah.
Like, under the bed is a great place to put all your toilet paper.
Yeah. Another thing, so before toilet paper was invented, people obviously had to wipe.
Yeah.
Toilet paper is a fairly modern invention.
With leaves and corn cobs, and some cultures just, you know, eat with their right hand and wipe with their left.
Yeah.
I mean their left hand.
Those
they dug in their own ass.
Yeah. For cheap invention of books became people's toilet paper. You would get like the cheapest book from a store, you know, like a
and rip pages out.
Just rip pages out. Like, you'd read them and then rip pages out and never read that book again.
So the Dollar Tree is a great source of... The Dollar Tree book section is a great source of cheap toilet paper.
Which is multi-purpose. You've got a book I usually tend to read in the bathroom.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just... Done with that page?
Yeah.
All right, then.
So that works.
If you only ever want to read the book once.
I will have to find the link, because I thought it was in here, but it's not. Apparently in the 1500s or 1600s, there's a French satirist that had a story about, it was like several pages of a guy, like several chapters of this page, about this monster beast of a man going around wiping his ass, and like, what was good to wipe your ass on? He's like,
oh wait, I think you've told me about this before.
Yeah, he's like, I grabbed the hat off of a page, and it was fluffy and velvet, and it was nice on my bum. He's
oh
like,
my God.
But nothing beats the neck of a goose. It's warm and it's soft and it squeaks and honks. But nothing beats the neck of a goose. I don't recommend
okay,
the goose.
Okay, the fact that he said squeaks and honks means that he's using a live goose.
Yes, he used a live goose. He wiped his shit out of a live goose.
That is a brave motherfucker. Those things will attack you.
Yeah. I want to have geese out here.
Oh my God. He's just fucking, you know, made a goddamn fucking deposit. Now I need something to wipe his, and there's a fucking goose?
Yeah.
Poor fucking goose. Yeah.
It's a funny story. It's definitely worth reading. I'll find the link and put it in here.
That guy was real?
I don't... He was a satire, so...
Probably not.
It was comedy, yeah. It wasn't a true story. It was a fictional account. But maybe... I'm not sure someone has wiped their ass on the neck of a goose.
You know that story's probably caused shit to be smeared on the necks of poor geese out there.
For centuries. Yeah.
Poor fucking bastards.
I'm not a fan of a goose. Ron Hood, bless his soul, famous survivalist. He used to carry around a do-rag.
Maybe that's where the term goosing came from.
Maybe. So just a giant bandana only used for your ass.
A poo do-rag.
Yeah.
See, I don't even like the idea of handkerchiefs.
I'm not a fan of the poo rag. I'm really not.
No.
Because you got poo on you, you clean it off. And a solution I do like, though, which adds to the composting, adds to the, Yep, still recording. And adds to it is the plant mullein. We have a mullein stock over there. We stopped in your car and I grabbed it to do a
boat drill. I've been meaning to ask you, what were you going to do with that mullein?
Hand drill fire.
Oh, that's what you're... Okay, because yeah. For a minute I thought you were going to wipe your ass with it.
No. The ones that have leaves, remember, I got them before and I was like, hey, Mike, feel this leaf. It feels like pure velvet on your hand.
Uh-huh.
Remember that? Yeah, mullein leaves. Mullein leaves is also known as cowboy teepee. Because cowboys would wipe their ass
with it. Oh, so you could have wiped your ass with
it. Yes, I mean... And mullein, I can walk around here and have enough mullein paper to wipe my ass on for, I don't know, a couple of days at least.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It grows in really bad soil, which means it grows pretty much everywhere. Sides of roads, construction sites, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's great. I'm going to wipe my ass and report on it.
I mean, it was literally just there on the side of the road. You grabbed it.
Yep. Once I found out what it was, I started seeing it everywhere. Just like sumac.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, mullein, I would say to encourage it in the least, and definitely don't weed it off and get rid of it. Good toilet paper for the long run.
You know, speaking of weeds, we ought to do some research and see if there's we need to find some survival uses for weeds. Because God knows I've got a lot of them around here.
We've already put one of your weeds to use with the...
Why did you quotation mark my weeds?
I hate the word weeds. Because people are like, such annoying invasive species. But a lot of them are edible or useful or medicinal.
Yeah, like the most famous weed out there, dandelions.
Yeah, and your yard is filled with plantain. Who was it? Your daughter, I think, got a bee bite. I got mullein, put it on it, and it was gone in no time.
Plantain.
Yeah.
You said mullein.
That's plantain.
Oh, you said, whatever.
Yeah.
People know what they hear.
I remember winding back and be like, in your face. Yeah, in your game.
I'm still sore about you correcting me earlier.
Yeah,
it's my goddamn trademark couch potato.
It is annoying and people hate it.
You hate it. I like doing it.
No.
No one
likes having it done to them.
It's a character trait.
And it's a character flaw.
Look, if you like it when I correct James on the show, drop us a line at james@survivalpunk.com.
Yeah. Great for... Oh, yeah, so we're off topic, but yeah. Mullein, great for TP. Books, great for TP. TP's great for TP. Not a fan of the poo rag. Not a fan of the left-hand method. Maybe because I'm a lefty.
I feel so bad for, left-handed Indians.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's where it came from.
It's a Muslim thing, like the Middle East.
Okay, left-handed Muslims.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Poor bastards. But I don't want to!
Yeah.
Okay, that was Indians.
I think it's a short episode, yeah.
This is going to be the shortest episode we've done in a fucking month of Sunday.
Yeah. The news story.
And you'd think about poo and pee. Talking about poo and pee, we'd have more to say.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've covered it like a Jimmy hat here.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's time for the Couch Potato Mike and Celebrity Invite of the Week. And this week, I'm inviting the good folks from Crooked Tree Farm to come on the show.
Yeah, because they'll probably be in person and live.
Yeah, that'll be actually our first in studio guests.
Yeah.
For this show.
Yeah, it'll be swell. So I can actually check with them, make sure everything's still up and up. Survival Punk gathering happening.
Possibly
this weekend ish. Next weekend.
It's sometime in the future.
It's sometime.
Oh, yeah, and if you want to sell stuff on our show, drop us a line at james@survivalpunk.com because I think we're about to have some sponsor spots opening up unless we get some renews.
Yep. Meat, money, Bitcoin, titty pictures, anything you want, james@survivalpunk.com.
Did you really just throw titty pictures in there?
Why not?
Damn it, I want to reap some of these benefits. I'm married, goddammit.
Yep. Send Mike your dick picture.
No, don't send Mike your dick picture. Thanks. You fucking your own email.
Yeah, I'll show you though. I'll
email.
Do.
Yeah, no, I won't look.
Hey, Mike, look at this. What is? Oh God, I hate you. And on that bombshell,
it is time to end. So, for the Survival Punk podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James, the Survival Punk Burnett.
And remember, there's always use for your shit.
DIY to build outhouses and poop and stuff.
You said all kinds of wrong, use guys.
Use guys.
Use guys.